It is good to have you here today. And, you know, again, there is a lot in the world that divides humanity, but Jesus came to unite us and really equip us to live what he referred to as a kingdom life. And I want to encourage you in that today. Again, it's not about building our kingdom. It's not about building a certain segment here on earth. It's about building God's kingdom, bringing up there, down here. Come on, somebody. And we're excited about that here at Valorous Church. And we are glad that you are a part of what's going on. Now, we have been in the process for the past several years of beginning the journey of relocating our congregation, our church, the group of people that gather around the name of Jesus here known as Valorous Church. We're relocating, and we're relocating this coming year, this coming fall. We're going to move from this location right across the waterway to actually a new campus that we are building over there that's begun to come out of the ground, and it is on track to hopefully be completed sometime this fall, and we'll be moving out of this venue over there. But come on, yeah. And we're excited about that, but as I was thinking about that move this particular week, I began to think about the seats. And not only the seats that are going to be, or the seats and the chairs that are going to be available in that new facility. I begin to think about the seats and the chairs that you're sitting in right here. You know, a seat matters, because a seat is much more than a chair. A seat actually is a place for someone to come in and encounter and engage and be equipped with God's great plan for their life. And when the church gathers, we're here to lift up the name of Jesus, but we're also here to encourage one another, equip one another, and build one another up in our faith. And throughout the years, these chairs have changed. And what I mean by that is physically they've changed some. If you're sitting in the middle section here in this venue today, those chairs you're sitting in there used to not be there. There were actually some different chairs there. But we chose to take those chairs out several years ago to create an environment where people could sit around tables. We could set up tables and they could meet in small groups and have Bible studies in here and have round table discussions. And so periodically we move these chairs around. We take them out, put other things in. Sometimes we take them completely out where people can stand and have all kinds of events. And I know it's a sloped floor in here, but we just use what we have in our hand. It makes it a little awkward when you're sitting in a chair and it's sloped backwards around the table, but that's what we do. And so we chose to take some chairs out to make room for some of these other environments that we could equip people to be all God created them to be. And so we took those out and rearranged the room. But a seat really matters, because a seat represents multiple people. In other words, there's a chair there. There's about 650 in this particular venue right now. And there's a chair there, but oftentimes thousands of people throughout a year take a seat in those chairs. And what a seat does is it allows a person to have an experience. Now you could possibly have an experience with God in your chair today. But keep in mind that there's been a lot of people who have sat in that same chair years before, and there's a lot of people who will continue to sit in that same chair over and over again. In other words, multiple lives can be changed in these chairs. And we're believing that multiple lives can be changed in the next chairs that we as a church provide for people to sit in our new location. But today I want to talk about what we desire as a church for people to experience. Because we're doing so much more than just gathering to gather here. We want people to experience something in their life. We want people to experience a relationship with God in their life. We want people to be equipped in that relationship. We want people to be encouraged in that relationship. And we desire for people, all people, you and the next person too, to become all that God has designed them to be. And so today I want to talk about the experience of the seat. What should you experience when you sit in a chair and you take a seat in a venue like this, whether it's this one or somewhere else? And the first thing is, we desire for every person seated to experience this personal relationship with God. Did you know you were created to have a personal relationship with God? Though we're gathered here together, every single one of us are designed to have a personal relationship with our Creator. And God desires for us to have that personal relationship, so we strive to create environments where people can know who God is, so God can begin to teach them who they are. Because half of understanding who you are designed to be is knowing who God is. But the other half of that equation is knowing who God says you are. And I don't know if you know it or not, but the Word of God, the Bible, has a lot to say about who God says that each and every one of us are. And in order to experience that, you need to get in an environment with some of God's people so that you can begin to be elevated in who He says you are, because we're not created to do life alone. We're created to do life in community. We're created to do life united. Together, around one purpose and one vision. And as I like to say it here at Valorous Church, around one name. And that's the name of Jesus. Because we're here, and no matter how diverse we are, what background we come for, what unites us together is we believe that Jesus came back from the grave. He rose from the grave. He ascended into the heavens. We believe that He sits at the right hand of God the Father right now, interceding for every single person. And we believe that He is going to return for His family, and we celebrate that, and we encourage people in that journey, and we invite people into that journey. So we want to create an environment where you know that God cares for who you are, right where you are, no matter what your background is. In other words, everyone's invited. Now keep in mind, just because you're invited to take a seat in God's presence, does it mean that God wants to leave you where you are? In other words, God wants to build you up where you are and take you into purpose and take you into a relationship where He can begin to leverage all of who you are in the world that He's placed you in. And so Jesus says, you know what, a church should be more or less a place that invites people to come and experience who He is. And so Jesus told this story in the Bible in Luke 14, and I want to share it with you. He invited some people to come, but there were some people that were too busy to come and experience God. You ever gotten too busy to experience God? And what Jesus tells the servants that were going out and doing an inviting, He says, well, if they're too busy, here's what I need you to do. I just need you to go invite some other people. Because my desire is for my house to be full. My desire is for it to be full so I can begin to do life with people, and people can begin to grow up more or less in who I say that they are. And so He says it this way in Luke 14, verse 23. He says, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that my house is full. So God desires for His house to be full. In other words, God invites anyone from any background, any gender, any age, any social economic class, any group, anything that's going on in your life, God says, would you come and take a seat so I can begin to build a relationship with you? And so our job now as the children of God is to begin to exhibit the character of God, the characteristics of our Father, and begin to invite people into that relationship with him and go out and invite. But what Jesus tells his servants in this story, in this parable, is to go out and invite everyone. So what we strive to do at Valorous Church is to create an environment that everyone begins to know that they matter. And I need you to know today, if you've been told by your own thinking, because a lot of times that's what gets messed up, the enemy begins to lie to you, and then you begin to tell lies to yourself that you don't matter and you don't have a purpose. I need you to know that we want to create an environment that you can sit down and God can begin to let you know that you do matter and you do have a purpose. Or maybe someone else has been telling you, you know, that you can't come into a relationship with God. Well, I want to share with you today that the Bible says that God sent Jesus into the world to give his life on a cross for all people everywhere. And what you need to do is understand that he came to die for anybody's sin that would dare believe that he came into this earth to give his life, his love on a cross so you could come into a relationship with him. He defeated death and resurrected from a grave. And the Bible says no matter what your background is, that Jesus came to forgive all sin. And what you need to do is put your faith in who Jesus says you are and begin to live in the midst of that. I want you to know the reason he gave his life on a cross is so that you could step into a personal relationship with your heavenly Father. And nobody has gone too far or done too much or in fact done too much good or too much bad in order to enter into this relationship, because the relationship starts with God stepping in and doing something for us. And what the Bible says is you and I have to believe that God wants this relationship. Now, you know, I can tell you right now, I want a relationship with you all day long. But until you respond and begin to step into that relationship, you'll never understand that I want that relationship with you. In other words, it's on you to step towards God because he's already stepped towards you. And to believe what he said. And the question is, do you really believe what God said? And so we like to wrap our arms around people and say, you matter to God. And we like to wrap our arms around people and say, but God loves you way too much to leave you where you are. See, some people want us to celebrate their sin, but we celebrate a Savior. See, some people want us to celebrate the condition they are in. But we're not here to judge the condition you're in, but we're here to celebrate the one that will bring you out of that condition. Come on, somebody, and not leave you there. Understand, God enters the relationship to transform you, to change you, to begin to coach you and work with you. And build you up in your faith that you know he is for you and not against you in spite of what is happening around you. But what happens is we become prey and we begin to listen to what's happening around us instead of what God has said about us. And we got to walk in the fullness of who we say that he is. And so we're here as a church to say you can experience a personal relationship with God clearly by putting your faith in the finished work of Christ on a cross and the resurrection of Jesus and the power of the resurrection and the belief that he's going to come back one day and he's going to make everything right. He's going to return and he's going to gather his family and it's going to be an amazing. And here's the deal. You can choose to believe that or not believe that, but we want to encourage you to keep on believing. We want to create an experience where you can keep on believing. Bad things happen to good people. Things happen in this earth. Sin has entered the world. In other words, this world is broken, but God is still good. In spite of the broken world, in spite of the brokenness around you, God is still good. And God will do what he says he will do, but you gotta trust him and you gotta walk with him. And we invite you into that. See, faith and believing God is what God asks us to do. But the question is, will you sit down? Will you be seated and believe what he says? See, that word in John chapter 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. For whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, what that's saying is that word believe there literally means, it means to sit down in, to take a seat in, to rest in, to fully trust. Whoever believes in him shall not waste away, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so you can sit in that chair, but are you seated in believing who Jesus really is? Because seated means I fully trust who he is, and I'm beginning to trust who he says I am. Amen. I invite you to experience God. And I want you to understand this. When you experience the Creator in this relationship, he invites you out of the seat on a journey. Amen. And it takes faith to walk with God. And the second thing we desire for you to experience here is not only a personal relationship with God, but we desire for you to be encouraged in the journey. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. It says it this way. It says, basically, do not forsake meeting together as some people are in the habit of doing. But look what it says. It says to encourage one another. Let's look at it together. Starts with verse 23. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Do you really trust that? Are you seated in that today? Do you fully believe that is your hope in God will keep his promise? That God will do what he says he will do. It says he can fully be trusted. Now it says, let us think of ways. Let us think of ways to motivate one another on towards acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. See, some people don't believe his return is near. But I can tell you this, it's nearer today than it was yesterday. And it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but we need to live. And it says to encourage each other to keep doing what is good until he returns. So we need to have the mindset that he's coming back, that he's returning, that he's gonna do what he says he's gonna do. And there's nothing that can stop us from persevering by faith that he is gonna finish what he's already started. See, some people don't understand when Jesus came and did the work on the cross as a suffering servant and defeated death and resurrected from a grave, that he ascended back to heaven and he's gonna come again. He hasn't only come once, he's coming twice. He's coming back next time, not as a suffering servant, but the Bible says he's coming back with the full wrath of God, and he's coming back as a king, and he's gonna do what he says he's gonna do, and he's gonna gather his family. He's gonna gather his family. And so we believe that justice ultimately belongs to God. And God will make what is wrong right. And he is a just God. And so what we're here doing is not only encouraging you in your relationship with Jesus, but also encouraging you in the work that God has called you to be a part of until he returns. Did you know there's a work? There's a work that God's inviting you into, because it builds your faith and it builds my faith. And what our job is as believers in Jesus Christ is to reach out and invite those who don't know God in, but it's also, watch this, it's also to infuse courage in each other to keep doing the good work that God has called us to do until he returns. Amen. So here's my question. How are you using the gift that God gave you to put courage in other people? Because I think some of us are sitting around waiting on somebody else to give us courage. When God says, I'm inviting you in so you can take what I put in you and you can begin to give other believers around you the courage to keep doing the good work that I've called the church to do in spite of what they think. So I'm telling you right now that God wants you to encourage those around you. He wants you to find courage from those around you, but he also wants you at the same time to infuse courage. And we gotta learn that part of the process of uniting around Jesus is continually building each other up and saying, yes, we can. You know, one of the things that no leader in the world likes to hear is we can't, no matter what their vision is. In other words, if a leader has a vision, what the leader wants to hear is, yes, we can, in spite of what is in front of us. And I really believe that God is our leader. He wants to hear a little bit more about we can instead of we can't. He wants his people to step up and say, in spite of all the bad in the world, we can keep doing what is good in the face of all of this and be his people and be his light and be his promise to those around us. I'm inviting you to have the courage to be who God has called you to be. We're united together to build each other's courage. See, there's something about assembling yourself with other believers. Yes, where two or three are gathered, I'm in their midst. But I want you to know that the Bible indicates that God wants his house full. And you gotta believe that God loves the next person just like he loves you. And God wants them to understand who he is, and he wants to encourage them to step away. See, that's the hardest thing in the world to do, is to step away from what we're familiar and what our skin enjoys. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Because I'm telling you right now, God is calling some of you out of the environments that you're placing yourself in. And he's saying, walk with me and I'll build you up and I'll do amazing things. Team up with me and what I'm doing in the world, and I'll begin to do amazing things in you and through you. But the challenge is sometimes we're more about our individual work instead of God's work in us and working through us. I want you to understand that we want people to experience encouragement. Encouragement in their faith and in their gift of who God has designed them to be, so we can build each other up in the faith to experience all that he has in store for us. I'm here to declare to you that God has great things in store for this world. God has great things in store for your family, God has great things in store for this community. God has great things in store for this nation. God has great in store for this every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. But we as the church are what is creating the environments. We're the hands and feet. We're the children of God. We're the expression of God in this earth. And God's inviting us to help build the courage in others to step towards Him. We want to be a place where people enter into a relationship, personal relationship with God, and people are encouraged in their faith. But not only that, we want to be a church where people take a seat and they're equipped to do all the things that God created them to do. Listen to what the Bible says. It says it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says, these are the gifts that God gave the church, the congregation, the assembly of people. These are the gifts that the Creator, God, gives to the assembly of people. It says the gifts look like this. He says it's the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip, everybody say equip, the assembly, God's people, to do whose work? His work. And build up the church, the body of Christ. So God gifts the church, the assembly, with people to encourage you to do His work, to continue to build up His church, the body of Christ. And so that's why we create different environments. That's why we create basically what we refer to in our congregation as small group environments. It's why we create Bible studies. It's why we create different age gender or age appropriate ministries. It's why we create, gender specific small groups sometimes. Because sometimes, there's some people that need to be encouraged in age appropriate ways. Children need to be encouraged in being who God has called them to be as a child. Students need to be encouraged who God called them to be as a student, as a teenager, as a person in that environment. So we try to create experiences where the church, because the church isn't just, a certain age demographic. The church isn't just some, one gender or another gender demographic. The church is a body of people made up of all different levels, all different ages, all different stages, and all different backgrounds. And so we strive to create experiences to equip people to be all God has created them to be in those different backgrounds. And so what we desire is to create environments, to create seats for people to be built up, small group seats, you name it, age appropriate children's ministries. When we have all these diverse ministries and all these diverse things, is so people can be equipped to be who God called them to be. And chances are God will call them to be something in a stage in their life, and that calling will remain the same, but that it will shift in different forms, along the journey as they grow in the Lord. God wants to build people up in their faith. And we want to be that kind of church. But we don't want just, see, they're getting ready. We're moving across the waterway. And the latest I got from basically the people who are going to renovate this building is, this used to be an impersonations theater. And back in the day, in other words, people got up here and, impersonated Elvis and Madonna and whoever else, Michael Jackson and, whoever it is, they got up here and did all these impersonations. And people were entertained by it. And people would come and take a seat in the chairs and watch a show. And they would walk out of here inspired for about 5 minutes. Wow, that was amazing. Well, what they're getting ready to do, nothing wrong with it. I think it's going to be awesome. If you want to experience a dinner show, This is going to be reformatted, reconfigured, all this kind of stuff. And they're getting ready to open up a dinner theater in there. It'll be quite an experience probably for a night. You can eat a meal probably and watch a show. It's going to be awesome. Okay? But see, we desire to do so much more than that. I mean, I'm glad you're in the seat and I want you to experience, have a great experience while you're in the room. That's why we got air conditioner on, heat on, all those things, because we want the environment to be kind of nice. But we're after so much more. We want to equip you to leave the room and be the body of Christ and be all God has created you to be as you go out into this world, growing in the relationship that he has for you so that you can begin to do the good he's called the church to do together. Because here's the deal. He hasn't only called one of us to do good. He's called all of us to do good and begin to exhibit who he is in the world. So our desire isn't for you to just to have come in here and have, you know, an experience. Our desire is for you to come in here and have an experience and begin to have a transformation because the Spirit of God has touched your life and begin to transform you. So we desire to do so much more. And lastly, what we desire is when people take a seat in here is not only for them to be equipped to do the ministry God called them to be, but to be full on and be engaged in what I like to call as kingdom work. Because the last words out of Jesus' mouth before he ascended back to heaven was he was gonna send an advocate, the Spirit of the living God, to fall on both men and women alike, to be his church, known as the Holy Spirit, to be his church in the world, to build his kingdom. And what's interesting is Acts chapter 1, verse 3 gives us some insight about this. To me, Acts chapter 1, verse 3 is one of the most powerful verses in all of the scripture. And I want to read it to you today because this is what it says about basically about being engaged. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says this. During the 40 days after Jesus, after he suffered and died, he appeared again. For 40 days, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And the Bible says, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. So I want you to pay close attention to what that says. It says, he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. In other words, Jesus didn't, I would invite you to go study that. The 40 days after Jesus died and resurrected from a grave, go and see all the ways that he appeared to the apostles before he ascended back into the heavens. The Bible says he appeared in many ways to prove that he was alive. And not only did he appear in many ways to prove that he was actually alive, the Bible goes on and says this, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. He talked to them about the kingdom of God. See, that is one of the most fascinating passages in all of the scripture. For the 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus' primary teaching was about the kingdom of God. His primary focus was teaching those who is appearing to in many ways about the kingdom of God. In other words, he wanted them to be engaged in kingdom work. So he wanted them to understand that God had a kingdom that he was setting up that the Bible refers to a little later on as an unshakable kingdom. See, what God wants you to do is be involved in a kingdom that is unshakable. Amen. And I don't know if you're just a part of a shakeable kingdom. Maybe it's a small kingdom. Maybe it's an individual kingdom. You know, maybe it's a people group kingdom. Maybe it's a national kingdom. And I don't know if you're just a part of, you know, some earthly kingdom. But I need you to know that Jesus spoke of a kingdom that would outlast all earthly kingdoms, and it was unshakable, and it was eternal, and it would not ever be shaken, and it's known as the kingdom of God. And what he's doing is he is inviting us to engage in that. And I surely believe that what we as a church are to do is to invite people into this personal relationship with Jesus and then invite them to be a part of bringing up there, down here. That's what I would refer to as bringing his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven and what that begins to look like. And we need to invite people to experience kingdom work down here as it is up there. Come on, somebody. And so, in other words, we're inviting you into a relationship with Jesus, but we're also saying, would you begin to put your faith in who he is and begin to do the work he's called you to do? Would you begin to participate and be involved? Because that's really what's going to change the world. That's really what's going to make a difference in the world. It's his church. It's his hands and feet. It's his people. Yes, God has done a work. You know, God can make a tree, but it doesn't mean that he makes the rocking chair. In other words, God invites somebody to use some creativity, cut the tree up, put it together, and build the rocking chair, because that's how God works. And I need you to understand today, some people are expecting God to show up in the world, but what God's doing is saying, I've already done a work in you. Why don't you become a part of what I'm doing and be the miracle that somebody's looking for? Come on. That's why I'm inviting you to participate. Because some of you are saying, God, I don't know, just using that as an example. God, give me a rocking chair, and God's like, I already gave you the tree. Start building the rocking chair. I already gave you the goodness. I already gave you the gift. And you're looking for one thing, and you're missing what I want to do through you. Because, you see, it would be so heartless of God to create us just to be a robot and not be in relationship and be a part of doing what he's doing in the earth. See, God's not looking for you to change like a robot. He's looking for you to be transformed and take his spirit that begins to coach your spirit and grows it up into being who God has designed you to be. And my friends, you can't do that absent of the church, absent of God's people. Because the Bible says what God's doing in the earth, he's doing through the church. Yes, God can do anything, but the scriptures give us a revelation that what God's doing, he's doing through the church. So I invite you to put your faith in what God's doing and participate and be a part. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. And God, we're striving to experience you in the fullness that we can experience you as followers of Jesus. And God, as we come together, as we gather unified around a Jesus who came and gave his life on a cross and resurrected from a grave and ascended to heaven and is going to come again, as we unify around the name of Jesus, I pray, God, today that your spirit will begin to speak to hearts about how they need to enter into that relationship and begin to participate with what you're doing in this earth. And my friend, if you've never entered that relationship by faith, I invite you to say, God, today I repent, I turn away from my way, and I turn towards you, God, and I thank you for the gift of salvation that you offer through Jesus Christ. I put my faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. And God, I invite you to come in transform me, rearrange me, and help me continue to grow in my faith, be encouraged in my faith, engage in your church, and be a part of what you're doing in the earth. My friend, I invite you to be seated, among God's people, but also to be encouraged to continue to expand God into this earth. God, you're an amazing God. And God, we don't only want to know about you, we want to experience you all the days of our life. Walk with us, walk among us, and use us to bring change into the world. We thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen.